that you're here. This is the kickoff for Ministry U, Future Preachers Training Camp, and we're just grateful to have that privilege. Thank you for the privilege and the honor to work with you throughout this week. We're just thankful for the elders here that have made the decision to co-host with the Ambridge University. This will allow us to have part of us in the university and part of us in the local church. This idea of a Future Preachers Training Camp was born in the local church. And whether we go off to the universities, and we have some very fine universities to train our preachers, we need to keep in mind that our preachers come from the congregation. They don't come from the university. They come through the university. They come from you in the congregation. Our speaker tonight is my privilege to and honor to introduce him. I've known him all of his life. I remember holding him when he was a little fella, just little. And if the Lord were to take me, I could die a very happy individual because of all the young men like this that have come through the Future Preachers Training Camp. I think Derek was about 11 or 12 years old the first time that I allowed him to come to camp as a camper. Occasionally, I will slip one under the wire, as we call it, that has the quality of this young man. He's been preaching the gospel about 10, 11 years, getting ready to move to the Southwest Congregation in Oklahoma City to be the family and youth minister there, an associate minister, whatever else they ask him to do along that line. But he's getting ready to move there. We pray to have a long tenure. He's a graduate on the undergrad and the graduate level of the Bear Valley Bible Institute. And he does have my name. I'm his uncle. My son is sitting here, and you'll get to hear him on Wednesday night. He's also a gospel preacher, my son-in-law. Lori's husband, Jared, is also a gospel preacher. I have two grandsons that are here, Jacob and Jesse. They're going to be preachers. They just don't really know that yet. But Jacob says, every time I mention it, he says, "Papa, I'm going to be a song leader. I'm a singer, not a preacher." Well, I don't know how well Derek sings, but I know he can preach. Been in the mission field with him, and I've just served with him several times in this camp, and he's going to be here throughout the week helping me with this camp. And so, Derek, come preach to us.
Good evening. That won't work. Good evening. Amen. That's better. It is good to be here. We are thankful that we're here. And I'm glad to be here and be able to help with this camp. And it is a privilege of mine to always be able to come back and to help and to train young men. As Roger said, I am his nephew. Sometimes I will claim that and sometimes I will not. This week I will claim that. And so thankful for Roger, and I will say this with all my heart and as honestly as I can, that I will say that I would not be where I'm at today as a gospel preacher without this man. He has influenced me. He still influences me. We call quite a bit every time I have a problem. He's the first one that I usually call and try to help me through my ministry, and I am thankful for him. Before we dive into God's word tonight, though, let's go to him in prayer and ask him to bless us as we study tonight his word. God, we're just so thankful for this opportunity that you've blessed us with tonight to be able to gather here together as your family, Father, and to be able to sing these songs of praise to you, to be able to come before your throne, Father, and to bring these prayers to you. And Father, we are thankful tonight that we are able to dive into your word and to notice some things about your word. Father, we pray tonight that you will bless us in that study. Father, we pray that as we study tonight that our hearts are open to your word. And Father, we pray that your word tonight, that we will use it to change our lives, that we can be better servants for you. Forgive us when we sin, in Christ's name we pray. Amen. I'm going to be studying tonight for just a minute. All of us are. We're going to be looking at John chapter 13. So if you have your Bibles with you tonight, I would encourage you to open up to John chapter 13. And we're going to notice some things about what God has to say here dealing with the serving life. All of us, not only ministers, but all of us as God's children, we have a responsibility, and that is to be servants. And tonight, for just a little bit that we have, I want us to look through and notice John chapter 13 and notice some things about John chapter 13. And I want to challenge us tonight and encourage us tonight to think about what John 13 is saying, what Jesus is teaching us, what He was teaching His disciples. And as we leave here tonight, I hope that we can leave as better servants, people that are willing and ready to get their hands dirty and to begin to serve others, to begin to serve Jesus as He would want us to do. Before we get into John chapter 13, though, there's some things that we need to know. There's some things that we need to talk about and think about as we enter into our study tonight of John chapter 13. First of all, the one thing that we need to recall or bring to memory is simply this, that Jesus was dealing with people that oftentimes did not have the mindset of a servant. Jesus was dealing with people that even His disciples were men that oftentimes would struggle over power. They would want to know, and they would ask Jesus, who is the greatest? And they would want to know who it is that would be at the top of the totem pole, so to speak. And so Jesus oftentimes had to remind His disciples that, you know, Christianity, that about being about God and being a part of God's family is not about being the greatest, but being the lowest. And so Jesus struggled with this through His ministry. Even with His disciples, He struggled with the fact that He was saying to them, always, continually, I didn't come to be served, but to serve. He's saying simply to them, it's not about being served, but your mission, your responsibility while you're on this earth is to serve. Jesus even goes back to the point and even says, you know, me being the Son of God that I am, came down from heaven and came to this earth, and my number one priority is to serve. And so it only makes sense for Jesus, as He is about to go to the cross, as He is about to fulfill His ministry, as He is about to end His earthly ministry and go back to the Father. It is only fitting for Jesus to sit down with His disciples, to sit down and to simply teach them a lesson on serving. And that lesson comes in John chapter 13. We understand also that as we look at the background here, and also as we think about the reason for what Jesus is about to do, is we can recall and think about the fact that Jesus, in this time in which He lived, people walked a lot of places, most of the places that they went. And so oftentimes they would come into places and their feet would be dirty. And so they would have to partake in this foot washing in order for their feet to be clean, to go in to eat or wherever they went. And so Jesus oftentimes takes that here in John chapter 13. He takes that concept of washing feet because, first of all, it was customary for them to do that. It was something that they knew about. It was something that they often did. And so He takes that and He turns that into a lesson. He turns that into not only just a lesson, but a very valuable lesson that teaches His disciples and teaches us a lesson on being a servant. Teaching a lesson on what it means to serve. In the text that was just read for us in John chapter 13, beginning at verse number 1 through verse number 4, the Bible says, "Now before the feast of the Passover, verse 1, Jesus, knowing His hour had come," the Bible says, "that He would depart out of this world to the Father. Having loved His own," verse 1, "who were in the world, He loved them to the end." Verse number 2 says, "During supper, the devil, having already put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, to betray Him, Jesus," verse 3, the Bible says, "knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come forth from God, the Bible says was going back to God. Verse number 4 says, he got up from supper. He laid aside his garments. And taking a towel, he girded himself. I want you to imagine for just a moment that you're sitting at the table with Jesus. You know who he is. You know what his mission is. You know he's about to send back to the Father. You know he's about to die for each one of us. I want you to think about for just a moment that supper has ended. And Jesus arises from the table. He takes off his garment. And as he takes off his outer garment, he girds himself with a towel. And after he girds himself with a towel, takes a pitcher of water and he pours it into the bowl and he begins to put the towel in there and he begins to wash his disciples' feet. What kind of impact would that leave on you? What would you think about that the Son of God, the Son of Man, was washing your feet? The text tells us in John chapter 13 that there were some that had issue with that. But after they found out the reason, after they found out what Jesus explained to them about being a servant, they had a totally different attitude. And in John chapter 13, beginning at verse number 5, we pick up with our text that we're going to explore tonight. And notice some things about the serving life. Notice some things for our future preachers here tonight that if we're going to be a minister like Jesus was, for us, for those who are here tonight that are Christians, those here tonight that maybe are ready to start their Christian walk tonight, let me tell you that Christianity requires of us to be servants. It requires of us to live the serving life. I want you to notice some things about John chapter 13 that just come out at me as I study through this and notice what Jesus talks about when he deals with the serving life and what he says. As he begins to explain to his disciples and he begins to explain to them, here's what it takes to live the life of a servant. First of all, as we scan our way through here, we notice in John chapter 13, beginning at verse number 3, as we've read already, the Bible says that Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands and that he had come forth from God and was going back to God, he got up from supper and he laid aside his garments and he picked up a towel and girded himself. Verse number 5 says, then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel with which he was girded. So he came to Simon Peter. He said to him, Lord, do you wash my feet? As we look at our text, as we explore this text and notice here what Jesus is telling us, I think number one, what he says is simply this: in order for you to live the serving life, in order for you to do and to be and to follow after my example and to be Jesus, because that's exactly what our goal is in life. That's what we're here for. That is exactly what God wants us to be, is to follow after the example that Jesus left us. And if we follow after that example, and the example that he left us was simply this. Number one, he said in order to live the life of a servant, you have to have humility. Could you imagine what kind of humility this took? For Jesus to stand up from the supper table and to go about and begin washing his disciples' feet. Let me tell you, that in order for us to live the life of a servant, and to live the life that God wants us to live and that Christ wants us to live, it has to be a life full. It has to be a life of humility. I believe with all my heart that we cannot live a life as a Christian and expect to die and go to heaven unless we are humble. Unless we have a life that is full of humility. I like what Jesus said in Mark chapter 9 and verse number 35 as he is discussing with his disciples. And he sat down and he called the 12. And as he called the 12 to him, he said to them these words. Listen to it. He said, if anyone would be first, he must be last of all and servant of all. What's Jesus telling them? He says in all this bickering and different things that are going on about who's the greatest and all this happening, Jesus says, let me tell you that if you want to be great and you want to live the life of a Christian, he says, let me tell you, he said, if anyone wants to be first, you got to be last. You got to be last. And he says, not only do you got to be last, but you got to serve all. You got to be a servant to all. Mark chapter 10 and verse number 34 and verse number 35, Jesus again, as he is explaining to them what it means to be his disciple, as he's explaining to them about being a servant. In Mark chapter 10 and verse 34 and 35, he said, and whoever would be first, you must be a slave of all. Listen, he says, for even the Son of Man came not to serve, or not to be served, but to serve. You think the message is loud and clear in the New Testament? Do you think it's loud and clear when Jesus wants them to bring a point across about humility? And the message is simply this. He says, you can't be first in the kingdom unless you're last. He says, you can't go to heaven and you can't be what God wants you to be unless humility is a part of your life. You can't serve and you can't have the serving life unless we follow after the example that Jesus left us in John chapter 13 and all throughout his ministry, unless we as Christians take on the mindset of humility and say, I'm going to be last. Jesus can go first. Jesus will go first. I'll serve him first. I'll serve others before me. I'll be last. That's humility. That's what Jesus wants of us. In 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 5, he said, all of you, listen to what the words of Peter said. He said, all of you, clothe yourselves with what? The Bible says, clothe yourselves with humility. With humility toward one another, because God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble, to those who have humility.
Going back to our text, in John chapter 13 and verse number 15, listen to what the words of the text says. For I gave you an example that you also,
listen to what he said,
should do as I did to you. Here's what Jesus says.
Jesus simply says this. He says, it is required of you to be servants.
It's a requirement. It's something that you must do. He said, do as I did to you.
It's something God requires of us, is to live the serving life.
Over in Romans chapter 12. In Romans chapter 12 and looking at verse number 1. We always just kind of go through this verse and we always kind of look at it and pick from it. And we often just look at it and we say, therefore,
I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies. Your bodies what? A living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. I want you to notice what he says here. Paul says in verse number 1, he starts it off real impactful here. He really just hits home with some things here. He says, I want you to present. You get that word? So what he's saying is, I want you to bring yourself to me. I want you to present yourself to God. And what? He says not only that, but he says, present your bodies a living and holy. What's that mean? Well, simply put, we could just summarize that up to one word here in this text in which Paul is using this. And he's saying that I want you to be dedicated. Present your bodies to God. A body that is holy. A body that is dedicated to what? Spiritual service. Present your bodies to God as a servant. Spiritual service to God. Dedicate yourself in the service of God.
Dave Thomas. That woke you up because some of y'all are hungry, right? Dave Thomas. You know who that is, right? The hamburger guy? I think
the restaurant that he started was Wendy's, maybe? Kind of a small restaurant. Wendy's. Dave Thomas.
He appeared on the front of an annual report, dressed in a knee-length work apron,
holding a mop in one hand and a plastic bucket in the other hand. Someone asked him about that picture. And this is Dave Thomas's response to that picture, and here's how he describes the picture. He said, I got my MBA long before I got my GED. What? You got your Master of Business before you got your GED? How's that possible? Here, as he goes on to explain, he says, not only did he say, as he described it, he said, I got my MBA long before I got my GED. He said, at Wendy's, MBA does not mean Master of Business Administration. He said, here's what it means. It means mop, bucket, attitude. What's Dave Thomas saying about Wendy's? He's saying if you work here, if you deal with Wendy's, you got to be a servant. You got to be willing to serve. Do we have a mop bucket attitude when it comes to the church and when it comes to the work of the church?
As we look at our text, in John chapter 13,
in verse number 15, Jesus says again,
for I gave you an example. You see, those who live the life of an example, of a serving life, is living the life that follows after the example of Jesus. Not only did Jesus give us an example in a lot of things, in evangelism, in a host of other things that we could go to and talk about the example that Jesus left for us, the proper attitude that we should have, and the list goes on and on. But the Bible lets us know that Jesus gave us an example when it comes to service, when it comes to serving. Jesus was a servant. And I believe that if we think about and we list the qualities of Christ and we think about the characteristics of Him and His ministry, I believe at the very top of the list, we would have to simply say that Jesus was a servant and that He was willing to serve not only His brothers, but anyone. Did Jesus face difficulty because of His servant attitude? Yes, He did. But did that stop Jesus from serving? No. Jesus continued to live the life of a servant. You remember Matthew chapter 20 and verse number 28, even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give His life a ransom for many. We will face difficulty in our service as well. But the main point and the main ideal is, like Jesus said, we got to continue to be servants. We got to continue to serve. Jesus is both our example and our motivation to continue to be servants. He wasn't focused on keeping His position. Jesus wasn't focused on getting more.
In fact, according to Philippians chapter 2 and beginning at verse number 3 through verse number 7, Jesus left his throne in order to serve us. As a matter of fact, in verse number 3, beginning at Philippians chapter 2 and verse 3, Jesus said, Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Listen to what he said. But in humility, consider others better than yourself. He goes on to say, each of you should look not only to your own interest, but also to the interest of others. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who being in the very nature of God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant. There it is. Taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. He took the attitude of a servant. He gave up equality with God so that he could do one thing, and that's to serve. That's to serve. He served the needs of others and then demonstrated the act of servanthood when he gave his life as a payment for our sins so that we could be set free. In John chapter 13, in verse number 17, Jesus says simply this, if you know these things, you're blessed if you do them. We can take everything we said tonight. We can think about having humility. We can think about the example that Jesus left us. We can think about the fact that Jesus said that it's required of us to be servants. That's what's required of us from God, is to serve others, to serve God, to serve Christ. John chapter 13 and verse number 17 kind of wraps it all up for us. And as we look through and we scan through and we notice these things in this text in John 13, Jesus just simply says in verse 17, if you do these things, you will be blessed. Revelation chapter 14 and verse number 13, the Bible says, then I heard a voice from heaven saying, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Yes, says the Lord, they will rest from their labor, for their deeds will follow them. Go back a little bit to that verse. What did he say? Blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Why are they blessed? Because they live a life of a servant. Ministers, future preachers, in order to be what God, people here, here tonight, Christians, non-Christians, in order for God, for us to be what God wants us to be, we have to be servants. There's no way around it. Do you remember Pilate? As Jesus is standing before him, he had a chance to let Jesus go. He had a chance to just free him and let him go. He called for a bucket and he washed his hands with the whole thing. Matthew chapter 27 and verse number 24, when Pilate saw that he was getting nowhere, but that instead an uproar was starting, he took water and washed his hands in front of the crowd. I am innocent of this man's blood. He said, it is your responsibility. But Jesus, on Thursday night, the night before he was to go to the cross and to die, Jesus called for a bucket. And as Jesus called for a bucket, he proceeded to wash the dirty and dusty feet of his disciples. Here's what it comes down to. Just as Dave Thomas said, just as we find in what Jesus said in John chapter 13, here's what it comes down to. It all comes down to bucket theology. Which one will we choose? Will we follow the example of Pilate and just let someone else do it? Or will we follow after the example of Christ and dig in and get our hands dirty and serve others? What are we waiting for? Are we ready to start tonight? That's the challenge. That's the challenge, I believe, that we come across in John chapter 13. And the challenge is simply this: what are you waiting for?
I think that even though the text doesn't say it and we don't see it here in the words, but I think Jesus would say the same thing. Here's the lesson I've given you. I've washed your feet. I've done everything that I need to do in my ministry. I've showed you what a servant is by my example. And now Jesus just simply, I'm sure, looks at him and says, what are you waiting for? Serve whenever you can. Serve wherever you can. Serve whoever is in need. Be willing to do whatever it takes when it comes to being a servant. Tonight, maybe there's a personal invitation in store, not one that needs to be made public, but maybe a personal invitation that needs to be answered tonight. And that's one that only each one of us in here tonight can answer. And here it is. Am I being the servant that God wants me to be? Am I being the servant that Jesus was? Am I being the servant that God requires of me so that I can see heaven one day? If not, start tonight. What are you waiting for? Start being a servant tonight. Tonight we also want to offer the invitation to those who are here tonight that may not be a Christian and you want to start your walk with God tonight. And we're here to assist you with that. Maybe tonight you're here tonight and you need to come home. You once were a servant for God, but you've strayed away from that. And now you're a servant of something else. And we can help you with that as well. Tonight, if we can help you in any way, we pray that you'll come as together we stand and sing.